position number 212870, wheel 1.
Ron Clark, reel 1. Where were you born, please?
In Swindon, Wiltshire.
Which year was this?
1920.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Swindon?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
Ferndale Road.
And how school. How old were you when you finished there?
14.
Did you get a job?
Yes. Paperboy.
Did that last long?
12 months.
And then what did you do?
I went to work in the Great Western Railway Works.
Doing what?
As a assistant wood machinist for 12 months. And then I became an apprentice coach painter.
Did you join Territorial Army before the war?
Yes.
Can you tell me about that, please?
I joined the Territorial Army because a lot of my friends who I worked with were already in the Territorial Army. And I thought it would be a good idea if I joined just before they went to their annual camp in Okehampton. And I thought it would be a good chance to have a fortnight away and in the army and away from my work. And that was how I became a member of the Territorial Army, through friends in work.
What was the unit of TA that you joined?
112 Field Regiment.
112?
Yeah, 112 Field.
Royal Artillery?
Royal Artillery.
What kind of experience and training did you have with them pre-war?
Training in signalling, Morse code, etc. Learning Morse code and learning the way to run out cable from telephones. Mainly signalling, flag. Didn't have much radio at that time. We were dependent on line.
How did you like being in TA pre-war?
Didn't like it.
Why not?
It was, to me, it was very coarse. Some of the friends I worked with, I didn't meet when I was in the, they were in different troops. And I was very disillusioned at that time. Although it became different later on, once I got, because I was called up the same year, in 1939. September. So it took me a few months to acclimatise to army life.
In what way, of course?
Awful language, and which I wasn't used to.
You mean swearing?
Swearing and yeah, nothing very serious, but I just didn't, well, I wasn't accustomed to it. I suppose looking back, it was nothing, but at that time I was very unhappy.
But could you have got out of it?
No.
Because you'd signed up?
I'd signed, yes. I didn't want to get out of it. I felt that, you know, the war was coming along at that time. And so I preferred to serve in the Royal Artillery, which was due any time. Because we went to camp, I believe, in July or August, and the war started in September, I So, no, I didn't want to get out. I just had to battle through the things that I didn't like.
Did you hear Chamberlain declare war on Germany?
Yes.
Can you tell me what you remember of that, please?
Well, the main thing I can remember was when he come back from Germany, Munich, I think it was Munich, and he waved a piece of paper when he got out of his airplane and said that, I believe, something to do with agreeing with Hitler, you know. That's the main thing I can remember, him waving a piece of paper. That is well known in history, I think.
How did you feel about the news that war had broken out?
Well, you know, strange, really, but I was reasonably not happy about it, but I didn't feel depressed in any way. I was quite looking forward to a bit. At that time, I was a little bit elated, really. Strange, really, how I didn't like the army. And then, yeah, because I remember leaving my parents' home, and I was quite happy, you know, going.
What's happened to you next?
We were kept in the drill hall in Prospect Place in Swindon, and we slept on there. About 200 or 300 of us sleeping on the floor, concrete floor with a couple of blankets, and we just stayed there for a few days, and then we went by train, taking our guns and telephones and equipment down to Tisbury in Wiltshire, and into a workhouse in Tisbury. That's what happened after we left the drill hall. And there we started really some serious training for war.
What did that involve?
Well, the gunners, they were involved in gun drill, and we were always involved in running out telephone lines and getting them out as quick as possible and getting them over roads, over the top, and reading so many words a minute. We had to read 10 words a minute Morse code to pass out as signalers, plus Morse code with flags. And that's what we were mainly concerned with, plus doing all the various guard duties and all things like that.
And this is still 112 Field Regiment?
Yes.
Any incidents that happened to you at this time?
Not any incidents that I can really think of at Tisbury. I well remember, don't know whether this is the sort of thing you want me to say, but the only incident I can remember vividly at Tisbury was our battery sergeant major coming to my room, said, "Gunner Clark, come with me." And he took me up the stairs in the workhouse, up to the attic. And there were these regular soldiers who had come with us to give us experience of regular army. And they were cooks. And it was at Christmas time. And they had stolen the rum. And they were absolutely... Well, they'd been put under arrest, under close arrest by sergeants, And their fights were ensuing, and their split heads, various things. And Battery Sergeant Major Norman, who became a real good friend to me, he said, "Sonny, the effects of strong drink." That's one thing I remember. There was another incident. We were on marching drill under Battery Sergeant Major Norman, and he absolutely, I could say, frightened me quite a lot when he was barking out his orders. And after the parade, he called out to me, "Got a clack, report to me after the parade." I thought to myself, I'm in trouble, because I never dreamt of him as a normal human being. I thought he was something different. So I waited, and he came over and he said, "Stand easy." He said, then he changed the tone of his voice. He said, "Do you know Mrs. Hewlett in the railway mission, which I attended at that time?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That's my sister." And I said, "Oh." And he dismissed me. From that day onwards, although I didn't see him very often, because he later became regimental quartermaster sergeant, which meant he was in headquarters staff, he looked after me throughout the war. I believe that was provident.
Which battery and troop were you in at the time?
I was in 220 battery. Don troop. Or dog troop.
What happened to you next?
Oh dear. Then we moved from, oh I know, Dunkirk was about to take place, and we were on the train to go to France, but on a station going towards wherever we were going to embark to France, there was a train coming with all these chaps coming the other way, and they all had gas capes over them to keep the rain out, and they'd be draggled, really looking. And that was the Dunkirk people coming back to this country, and we were supposed to be going. But then, of course, it was stopped. And so we went back to Tilbury, although we were going to go to France at that time. So that was the next thing that happened. Now I got to try and think where we went. After, oh, I know where we went. We went to Street in Somerset. Where we continued training. And also we were in Glastonbury as well. That is about 3 miles away. But we were in those two towns. Nothing particularly happened there, except learning LAMP. We did a lot of LAMP work there, you know, Morse code, sending and receiving. I can't say much about Glastonbury or Street, because really nothing much happened. I dare say after this interview, I should think of something. But just at this moment, nothing comes to mind. Except that we were there, and it's quite a nice place to be. We were in a loft where we overlooked Clark's Shoe Factory in Street. Which is just closing down, I think, or closed down. And that's all I can remember of that place. Nothing dramatic.
And after street?
After street. We went to Baldock in Hertfordshire. And we were stationed in a little place called Stockfold, which is near Baldock, where we started to get more modern equipment come to us, whereas our guns were pretty archaic. We started getting 25 pounders.
What had you had before?
I've got to be careful here because I'm not very acquainted with the guns, but it was, I can't think of the name.
Doesn't matter.
Howitzers, no. I don't know. They were old hat anyway. But we got the more modern equipment coming in when we were in Stockfold. And I was issued with a motorbike there, which Signal Sections used quite a bit at that time, although later on when I was a troop NCO Signal, I had a Jeep, but I had a Norton 500 at that time.
Why was it necessary for you to have a motorcycle?
Well, because you see, when the guns are in a position to fire maybe 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 yards, the signalers are between the guns and the OP officer. And so consequently you needed some vehicle other, albeit a motorbike or Jeep, to... Sometimes the lines broke, and it was required to mend them. And so it might have been 2 or 3 miles away, so you got there quicker rather than walking.
And what was the title of your job at this time?
Signaller. Quite a good place to be. Enjoyable, because I'd never been to that part of the country. Our headquarters was in Baldock. But of course, a long time ago. I can remember some things about it, but funny things. Can't think of anything particularly serious, apart from training.
What funny things happened?
Well, one of my friends, who was a signaller, he was a batman. Although he was a signaller, but he was also batman for a troop sergeant major. And he was cleaning his revolver, and he did a kind of a cowboy thing with the revolver.
12.
The bullet went straight in the ceiling. Another time, he borrowed the same Sergeant Major's dress hat, which was red hat with blue, not a forage hat, on the side, he borrowed it to go out. And he'd been drinking copious amounts of beer, and because he got back rather late. And so as to avoid the sentries, the guard room, he comes through a wood to get into the where we were billeted. And coming through the wood, he must have went under a branch of a tree and caught the sergeant major's hat on a twig on one of the branches. or at least that's what he assumed, because the next morning he looked for the sergeant major's hat and it wasn't there, and he went back but he never found it. And so that was two amusing things with one of my colleagues. He was a jolly good chap who later had a very, very rough time in action.
Had you by this time been in any bombing by the German Air Force?
No. No, I don't think we... No, I don't think we had any bombing at all at that time. Up to that time, no. Although Swindon had, because I was away from Swindon then. No, we didn't. We had nothing, as far as I can remember.
What happened next?
We went down to Margate. Kent. When I say Margate, that was the main town, but we were in St. Peter's, which is a little place not far away from Margate. And we were in a school called St. Peter's Court. St. Peter's, they have a lot of, used to have a lot of private schools. That quite nice places, and we were in one of those. And at that time, there was a likely to be second to the Germans were likely to come over to invade this country. And our guns were in a place called, I'm getting a little bit mixed up here, you'll have to erase this bit, Sturry. We had our guns trained on the sea where there was all defences, and like if the idea was if the Germans come over, we would shell the beaches and things like that. And so we were sort of on a real action sort of station, really, there. We had an OP, which Charlie Troop, that was our other troop in the 220 battery, they were at Recover Towers. That is... Don't know whether you've ever been down that way. It's two towers, I can see. And we had an OP there. Now, don't know whether I'm supposed to tell you this sort of thing, but while we were in radio contact at that time, we started getting 19 sets and number 19 sets, and I believe 20, 21s. And we were in radio contact from Sturry to Recover Towers. And, well, we were in contact and then we lost contact. And we were in a Nissen hut full of thousands of rounds, 25-pounder ammunition. We were in a little room at the end. And we were sat there listening. All we could get was all this various Morse codes. We had no contact with our OP. We dropped off to sleep and we woke up and it all looked black, but we opened the window and we realised that our various clothes and various stuff was all on fire, because there'd been a little stove at the bottom and it caught a light. And we could have been blown sky high, thousands of pounds of, but fortunately we didn't. We did lose some equipment, which we were fortunate enough to get replaced. But that was a near escape for
Was that at St. Peter's?
Pardon? No, that was at Sturry. Sorry, I'm getting a bit mixed up here. We were down. Although we were in St. Peter's, but it is all down in that area. Ramsgate, Margate, and then come back towards Canterbury and Sturry. We had guns in various places there. Getting slightly mixed up, but that I can assure you they were all, and then there's all these regiments all lined up along there.
Yeah. Did you personally think the Germans would invade?
No, I didn't. Although they told us the gliders are all ready to take off and stuff, but I was never really... I didn't think they would invade somehow. I don't know why. I never felt in any way afraid of them coming, and I never thought they would. Although we were getting a few bombs at that time, which was only natural, you know, softening up. But I didn't think they would. I thought, just at that time, Mr. Churchill coming to his own, when he said these things about, you know, fight them on the beaches and all that stuff. And I don't know whether it was what he said or whether Hitler had other thoughts about what to do. I don't know. But I never thought they would come. Never dreamt. No, I didn't. Although we were already, well, I don't know what we could have done, mind, if they had come. Because they certainly wouldn't have just come up to the beaches. It works slightly different to that, doesn't it? They come different ways and parachutes, etc. But now, answering your question, I didn't think. I never even envisaged they'd come. No.
What else happened at this time?
Nothing much happened apart from preparing for an invasion of this country. Nothing much happened. The only significant thing that I can remember was Charlie Troop, which, as I said, was our other troop in the 220 Battery. There, the big house that they were billeted in burnt to the ground. And no one was in there. And they run the hose out, the fire service come and they run the hose out, a long hose, the chap was holding back, and just a little trickle of water come out. And so they just had to let it burn right out.
Was this another fire accident?
It was a fire accident, yeah. It wasn't nothing to do with war, you know, it's just a fire.
Why were you having so many fire accidents?
I don't know. I couldn't answer that question because I don't know.
Were you long in Sturry area?
Yeah, quite a while. Spent time in Canterbury. I was in Canterbury the day after it was bombed. Terribly bombed, Canterbury, and we were there quite a while. I say, got to be careful here because I'm not certain of the amount of time, but we were in Canterbury, Sturry, and then down the road to Margate, Broadstairs, Ramsgate. I suppose we were there about 12 months.
Why did you go into Canterbury the day after it was bombed?
Good point, that.
To do a job?
Actually, at that, the night before, the night that raid went into Canterbury, terrible, terrible raid that was, we were at a place called, we're in training, must have been something to do with training, we were at St. Nicholas at Wade. And that was the German flight path going across St. Nicholas at Wade.